What's up, everybody? We're back here on the Wrestling Revolution. Mark Becker talking with former Lieutenant Governor and dear friend Mandela Barnes. We're talking about the wonderful time that we all had during COVID. And when did you, like, so obviously, you know, you're the second most powerful person in the state of Wisconsin. When did you guys, like, first your ears perk up about, like, oh, that's kind of messed up about COVID-19? And then what was the moment when you're like, oh crap, we have to do something immediately?
Yes. Right. So you remember late February, you were hearing about stuff.
Yeah.
Late February, when it seemed like it was on the horizon, but nobody's paying that much attention. I remember the first weekend in March, I was in New Orleans.
Okay.
And like, that's when it all came down, right? Like, yeah. After that first weekend, right. I'm like, oh, boy, first of all, I'm glad I got to go. But, you know, uh-huh. It's just like by St. Patrick's Day, it was like, you know, that tough conversation where it's just like, okay, well, you know, the other states around us are, you know, starting to make hard choices. And I don't know how we sit and ignore this. You know, we have to start taking precautions.
Yeah. And then, you know, that was just really an incredible period of time. And then you have COVID. And then in the middle of this pandemic, we have the summer of 2020. And let me tell you, so, and I talk about this a lot, you know, I'm a white man grown up in a very white suburb of Green Bay. And it really, and it's, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I only say this because I hope it helps people understand. I really, really got my eyes started to be open. I married a black woman. And so, you know, I knew that there was inequality, but then, you know, we just celebrated our eighth anniversary. And so it's like you see these things happen and you're like, oh my God, like that's messed up. That's messed. And then, you know, we go through this great awakening as a society, if you will, and that hits home in Wisconsin. How was that as the first black lieutenant governor in the state facing this huge, huge wave of, I don't even know what to call it.
Well, a lot of people were having new conversations and there's a certain responsibility that falls.
Yes.
And like, it again, if it already was not easy dealing with the pandemic, having this on top of everything,
oh my God,
made it just like, yeah. You know, I could write a book on all this. Probably should write a book on all this.
You should.
Because there was already frustration, consternation because of, you know, people being on lockdown, lives being just changed in a completely, you know, the idea of work shifting, all this stuff, right?
And then, different communities were affected more by the lockdown than others. You know,
like, communities were affected. People's economic conditions, you know, got worse in a lot of areas. Yeah. And then you had all this frustration on top of, you know, the issues around racial justice after killing George Floyd. And, you know, communities were stuck with, you know, all right, well, what is the proper response? And the thing about answering the question about a proper response is the George Floyd, you know, that killing, it happened.
Oh God.
But like topics, the issues that people are bringing up were nowhere near new. Mm-hmm. And so dealing with just generations of, whether it's trauma or dealing with generations of, you know, anguish, frustration at, you know, a system that folks feel as, you know, if it had not been there to protect them, that just led to just a certain anger that was just directed at everybody, right? Like everybody, regardless of, you know, if you were trying to do the right thing or you weren't trying to do the right thing. So it became not just difficult to navigate with folks who were completely dismissive of the issue of racial injustice, and the same people who are trying to determine what books you can read, the same people who are determine what you can learn in the school. The same people who are trying to deny Kamala Harris of her blackness. You know, it's like, even, you know, aside from those folks, like the people, you know, who were out protesting, the people who were out demanding justice, it just, to them, it felt like a complete, you know, system failure. So it didn't matter. It was so far beyond partisan politics.
And, yeah,
you know, to try to get out there and reason. Like, I know people who were out there, like, I know elected officials who were out there protesting every day, right alongside
that's cool.
people. And but they still, even them, they still were, you know, were criticized by somebody about things not happening to the degree that folks feel like things should have been happening. And it's because of the issues that get swept under the rug so often, you know, over the course of time, it builds up.
Yeah.
There's going to be a big old lump in that rug, and you think you're just going to be walking to the living room. You're going to trip over it one day, and not only are you going to trip over, you're going to be carrying a hot pot of coffee, and then it's going to be spilled everywhere and on yourself, and now everything is messed up.
You know, and I think you articulate this stuff so well, and I didn't think I was going to go down this road, but so, like, where are we post summer of 2020? Like, are things
better? Oh, in many ways I think we've regressed.
Okay. Right, you know, right. It kind of feels that way.
Why did that help?
I don't get it.
So, well, a lot of the response was performative.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't necessarily substantive.
Yeah.
Right, like, so much was just done for, you know, appeasement. Now, like, you have an issue like criminal justice reform that barely even gets talked about. And the thing about it, even when I was in the assembly, you know, Grover Norquist, who's certainly no fan of mine, no liberal by any means, he was on his, you know, Right on Crime tour talking about criminal justice reform, trying to get Republican lawmakers in states to understand why the traditional way of, you know, of criminal justice just was, you know, out of date, why it was no longer effective and also a drain on resources for states. And there were a lot of states where Republican lawmakers were on board, championed reforms, introduced reforms. And, you know, you can even look at the I can't even think of the bill right now, something that even Ron Johnson voted for. What was the name of this? I can't think of the bill right now. It was obviously top of my mind during the campaign. But, like, there are these pieces of legislation that passed at state level, or a piece of legislation that passed even at the federal level, and now folks are just backing away from it. And the thing is, like, this is something you have to be in for the long term, right? Like, we are, like, this is system-wide change we're talking about. And you also can't implement criminal justice reform without investing in communities as well, to make sure that young people who may have been on a path to the criminal justice system have a diversion, have a clear path to education, have a clear path to a career. And I think that's the biggest piece of it that was never really cemented. And if that's not the case, it could seem like criminal justice reform was a failure because of it.
Yeah. We're talking with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. We're going to continue this discussion right after the break. We're going to talk about where's Wisconsin here with all of this fun stuff leading up to November. See you in a little bit.